Praise the Lord.
We give glory to the Lord, He reigns. Give glory to the Lord, He reigns. Hallelujah.
I want to say good morning to all of you. Those of us watching online, we thank God for you. We know God is also touching you as He's touching us here. Thank you very much for a wonderful ministry through the songs. Hallelujah. And I also want to thank our senior pastor for the opportunity to minister the word this morning. Hallelujah. Now, I would like us to take the confessions for 2025. If we are ready, just let me know. Okay, let's take our confessions. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in the stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine. And all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom, and I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right persons. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakout. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am valiant in battle and I overcome by his mantle, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountains? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ, who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life he has satisfied, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's Shalom, Jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. In 2025, there will be nothing missing, nothing broken. Let's sit down, brethren. I refuse to accept the fact that this year, I will not make what God has for me. I refuse to accept that the fact that this year there will be poverty in my life. No, I refuse to accept it. God has elevated me this 2025. These promises are wonderful. Praise the Lord. So during the week, things have been going through my mind. What do I minister? What am I going to share? Bless God's children with this morning. And I've just been having things go through my mind, having my quiet meditation and everything, but nothing stuck. Until yesterday when I was having my quiet time, in my spirit I heard this voice says, quiet the noise. Praise the Lord. Quiet the noise. I say, God, that is it. Quiet the noise. We have too much noise in the world today. Too much noise, external, internal. Everything calling for our attention. Everything seeking us to serve them. Everything wants us to serve them. You go out in the morning, there is noise. You are at work, there is noise. Your family, there is noise. Can I remember how many times they've called you to say, please, can you help me with some money? Or they tell you your uncle, that your mother's father's mother is dead, for you to send contributions. A lot of noise. And you wake up in the morning, you can be overwhelmed. You can be overwhelmed. Sometimes some people just give up. And they enter into their small shell and they say, you know what, I live my life the way I will live it. And so I had that quiet the noise. The Holy Spirit kept saying. And so this morning, and then I was drawn to a passage in the Bible which I like. from a prophet called Elijah. I don't know if anybody knows Elijah here. If you have heard of him, let me tell you Elijah. This story is about Elijah. If we go to 1 Kings chapter 19, you know, God of Elijah, send down fire, that song. Those of you who say you don't remember Elijah, even songs tell us about Elijah. But I don't want to talk about the prophets of Baal this morning. I want to talk about the after effect of the Baal event. There was an after effect when the prophet Elijah killed the prophets of Baal. And that is where I want us to concentrate this morning. Because Elijah showed us something. He showed us that when you are in trouble, when you have a lot of noise around you, there is one place that is certain. If we go, we will be secured. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19 that Ahab told Jezebel, now Jezebel was Ahab's wife, what Elijah had done, and without how he had slain all the prophets with the sword, Jezebel's prophets, you could say, because she worshipped Baal. The Bible says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In the Bible, oaths were taken very serious. If you read the Bible, anybody who took an oath, you fight to come to fulfill it. You took an oath, you have to. When Elijah saw this, Elijah said, this is an oath this woman has taken. I'm finished if I remain here. One thing I want to highlight is your enemies will disclose their plans to you without knowing. Amen. Little did Jezebel know that by sending a messenger to Elijah, she was triggering an effect that led Elijah to run away. Praise the Lord. If she had surprised Elijah, maybe Elijah wouldn't have known what to do. Maybe she would have killed Elijah. But I don't know, in her anger maybe, I don't know. Why would she send somebody to warn the prophet? Did she think that by telling the prophet your life is going to go by this time tomorrow, the prophet will remain and wait? Nobody does that. That's putting God to the test. Elijah knew it. And so when Elijah heard what Jezebel said, Elijah said, this is noise. What do I do, Lord? Elijah said, well, if there's one place I want to die, it will be in the presence of God. And so the Bible says in verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now, I want us to go to 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. So it was like he was putting his life in order. He said, look, you are my servant. I don't want you to be part of this. Let me take you where you'll be comfortable. So he put his servant here, say, remain in Beersheba. And he calculated, say, a day's journey, I will go into the wilderness, a day's journey. The Bible says he went there under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. It was too much for him. He said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He came to die. Elijah came to die. Even after they gave him food, the Bible says he still lay, he said. He was waiting for God to take him. And he arose, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again and the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Remember, Horeb was the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And some people believe that's where his life was also, God took him. So Elijah, in his mind, he was in the right place, a very significant place for him, where God's presence had been there before, where the Ten Commandments, God descended. And so it was the right place for Elijah to die. He fulfilled what God had told him concerning the prophets of Baal, concerning praying for water, for rain, after the 3 years or 3.5 years drought. He had fulfilled it. He said, look, I have done what you wanted me to do, God. It's time for me to die. The noise is too much. I cannot withstand this. Praise the Lord. But then God had different plans, as God always has plans. You know, worries, internal worries, you know, you have these worries, noise, fears, doubts that come your way when things begin to get difficult in your life. You begin to ask yourself, is this really worthwhile? Elijah did not. He went for God. He had his own plans, but God had his own. And that's what I want us to see from verse 11. And God asked him from verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. He lodged in that cave. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? God asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah said, okay, the time has come for me. I am in my zone. I have an opportunity to narrate to God how I feel, my place of prayer. I can pour out my heart here now. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down the altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Praise the Lord. Now he has told God this, narrated God his life. You know, this is what's going on, Father. For you, I have been zealous. You know, I have not bowed my knees to the prophets of Baal. In fact, I killed the prophets of Baal. But when you go before God to have your quiet time so that God can reveal himself to you, know that what you have in your mind might not be what God has in his mind. Amen? You might think, maybe I have been serving God for many years, so it gives me the right, you know, to expect God to do certain things for me the way I want him to do. That is not how God wants to operate. And so when Elijah told God this, he knew that, okay, God has come. This one that God has asked, it means God can do something about it. So let me tell God the thing. And so when he told God, the Bible says, and God said, go forth and stand upon the mounts before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Listen to what he says. But the Lord was not in the wind. Praise the Lord. You know, if it were some modern preachers today with full of sensationalism, after that wind passed, they'll come out and say, yes, God has spoken. There is wind that I have seen. That wind that broke that mountain. Where is this Jezebel? I will call down wind on you and you will be broken. Sensationalism.
That is not what Elijah did.
Elijah heard the wind and saw it, but in his mind, he's like, that is not it. God might have passed there, but that is not it. That's not the solution for the problem I have right now, the Jezebel problem. Say, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Bible says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. You know, remember the fire? It's the same fire that Elijah used for the prophets of Baal, remember? Maybe after seeing the fire, Elijah would have said, oh yeah, this one just, you know, in the testimony of two, a matter is settled. Fire in the mountain, now fire. This is time for me to go and meet Jezebel. I'll call down fire. No. But the Lord was not. Say, the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Quiet voice. Hallelujah. After the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Remember, God had asked him the same question in the beginning, you know. God had asked him. But it looks like he had not recognized that this is God you are talking to. Amen. Their revelation was not there yet. And so God had to pass him through this series of trials to bring back to his, you know, his memory who God is. And when he finally saw God, the Bible says he wrapped, you know, his garment around his face. He said, no, this is God. What am I doing? And he left his comfort, the place of comfort where he was, and he ran out to the entrance of the cave. So he was displaced from his place of comfort after he saw God. This year, God has come to remove us from our place of comfort. If you are still in your place of comfort, you need to cry out to God, that God, I need a revelation of you to remove me from this place of comfort. And you are in the place now where God can talk to you and you understand what God says. You know, God, when God asked him the first time and he was talking, God knew he had not gone through, he had not had that revelation. And so God could not even talk to him more. That's why God gave him through all these past, you know, all these instances. And the Bible says, and he said, and it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Is that not the same question God asked before? The same question. And look at how he answered. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. It is the same response Elijah gave before, if you notice. The same response, word for word. But this time he gave it from a place of revelation. Amen? That's why you don't have to joke with your quiet times. Don't joke with your quiet times. If you miss in the morning, try and have quiet time before you sleep. Because in your quiet time, when you have that revelation, God can speak to you. God speaks. So Elijah, after going through all these experiences, came to the knowledge of that this is God who is talking to me, wrapped his face, stood at the entrance of the cave, not in his comfort zone. Then God, listen to what God said. God said, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Assyria. You know, the normal mind will be like, I came here telling you that my life is at stake. You are giving me a commission? Imagine. You came crying out and telling God, prophets have been killed and my life is at stake. God instead tells you, go. I have work for you. Amen. I have work for you. God's ways are not our ways. Amen. God's ways are not our ways. You see, the way God operates is, it's God has his plan. And that's why we have to always ask God, fit me in your plan, Father. The reason why we have a lot of sorrow, misery, doubt, worries, is because we are not fitting into God's plan. When we fit ourselves into God's plan, and whatever God says, we obey, that is where our joy will come from. When God gave Elijah and asked him to go and anoint Hazael, Elijah did not say, God, this is not what brought me here. We should not stick to our routines and our things that are in our head when we're in God's presence. Amen? We should not stick to it. Because when we are in God's presence, we are giving him an opportunity to tell us, to talk to us, to fellowship. And so when God begins to say things, we should not start doubting and say, but I'm not sure this is God. Because it doesn't align with what we have in mind. How will anointing Hazael solve my current situation? You are anointing him as king. He's not even king yet. Right? He was anointing Hazael the same way they anointed David. Just that one day Hazael will become king. But it wasn't like Hazael was king the following day after he was anointed. Maybe he would have run to Hazael in Syria and in Damascus and hide him with Hazael if he were king. But no, it's not fixing my immediate situation. We should stop thinking that God's plans are just to fix our immediate situations. No. Sometimes God allows these things to us so we learn from them, to depend and rely on him. Elijah wanted to die. God had other plans. And then he says, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Praise the Lord. God gave him a commission when he asked to die. God told him, your time has not come. The good thing is Elijah perceived and understood and did not argue. He did not argue. And that was not all God said. He says, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left. He said, by the way, Elijah, you came here talking, just passing your mouth, saying you are the one left. They've killed all the prophets. By the way, let me tell you one thing. I always have a backup plan. He says in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So Elijah, you are not the only one left. Okay? You are not the only one left. I have a backup plan. I still have prophets in Israel. But for you, this is what I have done. I have a commission for you. Go do this anointing. Go do this. And then start your discipleship with Elisha. That is where his discipleship started, with Elisha. He went and he called Elisha out, said, God has called you, come and be my disciple. You know? The quieting the noise. Elijah quieted the noise. And in his moment of calm, he received a commission. I'm sure many people don't really want to be quiet before God because they are afraid of what God will say. That's the truth. If you ask me, I'll tell you, many people will not like to, when they come before God, they will pray, oh, Father, my wife, my children, my family, you know, my job, this, oh, what business can I engage in? Before God says, okay, my son, let's look at this. In Jesus' name, amen. You're out. And God is surprised. He says, what's going on here? You know? what's going on here. Elijah would have done the same thing after all those three experiences, seeing the wind, seeing the earthquake, and seeing fire. Elijah would have left and said, look, I told God the problem. God revealed himself to me through fire and the rest. Let me go out of here and see what Jezebel can do to me. You know, by the way, maybe it was already more than one day. Because an oath is for, the oath was for one day, right? She said, by this time tomorrow, if I am not taking your life. But he had been gone for more than 40 days. He would have just gone him. But God had his own plan, and God asked him the same question to remind him, tell me again your problem. But then now I know that you are ready to hear what I have to say. You are ready to hear what I have to say. You know, our confession says this year is a year of God's shalom. The year of God's peace. God did not highlight this to us to think that everything will just be, you know, merry-go-round, just so cozy and nice. God is telling us that there will be a lot of noise in the world. There will be a lot of things in the world. And if you think, and if you want to focus on those things will affect you. Not only physical, emotionally, spiritually. Amen? A lot of things. Like Pastor said, where he was in the plane, and by him, there was this lady who had just lost her job. A lot of people losing their jobs. A lot of them. A lot of people are confused right now where, you know, I was... One of my former workers in one of the jobs I used to work called and reached out to me and said, Kirby, have you heard? I said, heard. And this is also one thing I want to encourage us. Allow people to tell you these things. Don't go looking for things. Social media, television, or news all over the place. You want to read. Relax. Anything that will come your way, God wants you to hear, it will come your way. Amen? It will. And then she said, look, do you know what has happened? They have offered people severance packages in at the job site. I said, ah, she said, yes. If you have worked for 15 years as a manager or director, they give you this package. And if you have worked for 20 years as an independent individual contributor, they give you this package. I'm like, oh my goodness. I said, so you mean to tell me that if somebody left college at the age of 21, 22 and started working, and he's now 42 years. This is now maybe where the children are in high school or college. And where he's like, this is the time where I have worked, I've done, you know, I've labored 20 years. He's earning good money after 20 years in one company. You earn good money. This is when he's relaxed and say, oh, I want to, you know. And then you come and tell him, oh, this package is for you. You take it. Or risk being fired without any package. Because that's what happens. Corporate America does not see us as individuals, human beings. Corporate America sees us as figures, numbers on the balance sheet. And they pass those numbers in the balance sheet and say, if I want to get to this, what do I do? Take away this, take away this, add this, take away this, and that take away heads. Take away, you are gone. You are gone. So a lot of noise, a lot of people going through difficulties. When we have all these things, we have our own place where we can go and quiet the noise. Amen? Don't let these things worry you. Don't. If somebody tells you something, you just say, praise the Lord, thank God. If it's something the person you think you can pray with the person, say, I'll pray for you. I will pray for you. Amen? Amen. Don't engage. Don't do it. It's the noise. The devil likes a lot of noise. The devil puts noise just to distract us to hear God's word, God's voice. To hear God's words. You know, so God does not speak in the noise. God spoke when everything was calm. God did not speak when the wind made noise. He did not speak when the earth was shaken. He did not speak when fire came. He did not. God always speaks when we have quieted the noise. Both external and internal. So I don't know the noises that are in your life right now. This morning, I am calling you to quiet them. Don't give them a foothold. The moment you give them a foothold, they want to control you. Amen? Don't give them a foothold. Don't give them the slightest idea. Because when we have quiet spirits, quiet minds, God will reveal things to us. And what I did, you want to go to work, the moment when you get into your office, please, Mondays, get into your office, the first thing you do, you pray and you say, this is what I want in my office. The devil has no power over me. The devil has no power over this place. God gave me this job and I will only leave it if God says I leave it. Praise the Lord. You are a nurse, a businessman. Commit it in God's hands. We should not neglect the weapons, the tools that God has given us. We shouldn't neglect it. We shouldn't assume that God knows, God understands. Serving God is an active act, right? You have to engage. Even the Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, right? Violent people take it by force. Serving God is supposed to be action. Action. You go and you are dropping your kids, you lay your hands, and you say, God takes you safely. You are the head and not the tail. Whatever is difficult for you to understand in school, I open your mind to understand. Whatever sickness is roaming around in your class, I guard you from it. We are taking authority in the quiet place. Hallelujah. And there are benefits when you have a quiet place. There are benefits. When you have that quiet mind, the first benefit is you have wisdom. You have clarity of purpose. You see things that others don't see. They don't see because they are caught up in the noise. But you see things in a different way. Your way of approaching things are different. Hallelujah. You know, my mechanic once told me, say, Kermit, once in a while, you know what you do? When you get into your car, don't turn on the radio. Don't turn on anything. Start your car. Listen to the engine. It's telling you something. If there's a problem, that engine will tell you that there's a problem because you hear a noise. He said, start driving. Don't put on it. Just drive. And while you're driving, if your brake is almost done, you will hear it squeaking. You will hear it. He said, if you do it, Kermit, when you notice those, then come to me. And then now we can limit the destruction. You know, there are certain things in your car which, if you had caught it earlier on, the fix would have been very minimal. But if you allow it to go and on, it goes and destroys some other thing, which destroys some other thing. By the time you know it, you have a bill. So he told me, Kermit, this is what you... Because when you go to him even, he tells you, give me the keys, get in the car. Let's drive. And then we'll drive. And then he'll be like, yes, I hear that noise. Okay, I hear this noise. I think I know what the problem is. And then he just goes him and tells the boys, go under here, look at this. There's some. Just check it. And before you know it, they come and say, come in, we know what the problem is. This is what happened to your car. Whatever. The benefits of a quiet, quieting the noise. There are benefits of quiet. Sometimes you need to stop certain things that you do, even certain food that you eat. Okay? And see how your life, your body adjusts. I have stopped drinking coffee for about 3 months now. And there's a whole difference for me. A whole difference. I'm like, because the truth is, when your body is telling you it's time to rest, coffee tells you, no, fire the brakes. Go march it on and go. I will sleep at 1, 2 in the night just studying and doing. Because I had coffee in my system just kicking me around. And my body will sometimes I will just crash on the, when we come back from church like this on Sundays, I will just, after eating, I'm gone. I will crash. And then one day I said, no. Let me stop coffee for a while and see what's happening. Even my eyes, everything, I'm like, what? I know I'm getting old. But as you know, I'm still young. I'm still the youth in heart, you know. You know, I'm still very young. But this is not normal. So sometimes you have to quiet, you have to calm down, pipe low, you know. Just calm down and give opportunity for your natural, your body to tell you what the problem is. Amen? And I tell you there is a huge difference. A huge difference. So we have to quiet the noise and the benefits, you will not believe it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because if we look at Luke chapter 6 verse 12, even Jesus, before picking his disciples, he went to a quiet place, quieted the noise. He quieted the noise. Can you imagine if Jesus had told his disciples, those who were his followers then, they were not yet his disciples, his followers then, okay, I want to choose. I need 12 people who follow me. You know? Oh my goodness. Trust me, there will be mothers that will like, take my son. You know, take my son. You remember the sons of John and James? The mother who came and told Jesus, put my son one. I mean, you think she was the only one? There will be many who will come and say, but the Bible says, Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night. Calm the noise in prayer to God. Can we go to the next verse? And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. He only chose them after praying all night with God. He chose them. There are certain decisions that in the believer's life, don't just take hasty decisions. Because that's what the devil wants you to do. Take the hasty decisions. When you are in problem, you go and cry out to God. I know God will hear you, but then you must have suffered also. So he wants us to always make mistakes. You know? The benefits of having of quieting the noise is that we can hear God clearly. We can have a clear vision of what God wants us to do. And when God speaks, we know. We recognize, like Elijah, that this is God. Let me wrap my face. And as we come to God's presence, we should not always think that the way we want things to go, that's how God wants to do things. Amen. In Isaiah 55, our brother read 55 verse 8. In the message, can I have it in the message translation? That translation was good. Isaiah 55 verse 8. He says, for my thoughts. No, that's the message now. I don't think the way you think.
No, I don't. That's not how I think. Elijah, I don't think the way you think, Elijah. You might have come here wanting to die. You will not die. Just so you know. Oh, you think I'll help you with Jezebel? Jezebel has a time. And it's the same Elijah who went and gave the prophecy about Jezebel's death and prophesied how she would die, how the dogs would eat her up. You know? But that time had not come. God had a commission for him when he came in that quiet place. So this morning, I want to encourage us not to fear God's presence, to quiet the noise around. And as we quiet the noise around, we'll be getting the clear voice of God. Amen. Clear guidance from God. Go through the months, go through the weeks with a clear vision from God. What God wants you to do. God wants you to live. Where God wants you to live. You tell God, maybe you are looking, planning to get a house. Pray to God. Calm the noise. Calm the noise. There will be a lot of people who want you to stay or to go certain. Just calm the noise. Tell them, relax. When it's calm, God will tell you. And when God tells you, it's going to be joy. There is nowhere in the Bible God has asked somebody to do something and they did it and regretted that, oh, why? No. You know, there's no way. Calm the noise. And God will give you a commission. God will give that. Many people who have commissions today that were not from God. Because it was not from a place of quiet. It was influenced by a lot of noise. They were influenced to do things because other people do them. You know? Fashion. There are a lot of fashions out there. Many people look, this is a new one. My son must have this. This shoe, my son, my kid must have this shoe. This is the new thing in town. All those noise distractions.
Praise the Lord. God has called us to quiet the noise. This year we quiet the noise and God's shalom prevails. And all his promises will be ours. We quiet the noise. Praise the Lord. Was somebody blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Let's stand up, please. Yes. Yes. When the wind comes, don't jump after it. When the earthquake comes, don't jump after it. When the fire comes, don't run away from God's presence, thinking that God is there. Quiet the noise. You will hear his still voice. Make a commitment to always have this quiet place where you go seeking for God in the quietness of your mind. Make that commitment. This year is a year of shalom. And you know, the last time, before we close, I would like just to talk, if read something from. Have we been reading this book? Knowing God intimately, please. It has 9 chapters. It's not really a book that you say, just start reading. You want to read for 8 chapters. Just start reading and you want to read more. Praise the Lord. I remember the last time, there was a time I shared here about habitual fellowship with God. You know, I had not read that chapter. So I shared about habitual fellowship and then I went and I was reading. I said, is this not what I shared in the church? And I'm like, oh Lord. This is a rich book. And so when I was preparing for the message, I'm like, the pastor surely has said something about this noise thing. Then I remember, so I went and I came across this on page 20. It says, every human being created by God has a need to know him.
The problem is that many of us don't recognize that need. Why? Because all the natural needs of life we all oftentimes grapple with have relegated the most important need to know God to the back burner of our lives. Every one of us was created by the Lord with a yearning and a desire within our hearts to know Him more. And it must be the greatest pursuit of each of us to fan the flames of those desires.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. We've relegated the important things of knowing God behind. Because a lot of noise. That we will quiet the noise, amen. We will quiet the noise. We will not allow the world to seek our attention and win.
Praise the Lord.
And after quieting the noise, God will reveal to us things. Trust me, things. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. You've called us to quiet the noise, both externally and internally, to command ourselves to listen to your voice. Father, fears, worries will not prevail in our lives. The shalom, your peace is our portion. We declare that this year. And we believe it more, Lord, that this year is a year of peace. May it be a year of peace for each and every one of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.